Are you interested in some more about the abundant life? Super abundant life. We've been looking at that in this scripture here. You'll see on the screen. Jesus talked about that in John's gospel. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. I am come that you might have life. Why does he want us to have life? He wants us to have life like they have in heaven. You want some of that? Some of that life? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, which I put at the bottom of the screen there means abundance. Look it up in the original language. It means abundance. In fact, it means superabundant. And the next slide there, I put another scripture from New King James that basically says that. New King James says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That's the Greek word. More abundantly. What kind of life is that? Well, we all want life. I mean, you know, if you're in the hospital, you want to get out. If you're sick, you want to get well. If you can't breathe, you want to be able to breathe. I mean, life, we want life. And there's a life, but there's a life beyond that. I mean, we all know that. We've heard that anyway. There's a life beyond that in the heavenly realms. And we want that one, but just not right now. A lot of people don't want to go right now. I mean, I want to go to heaven right now. No, I want to wait a little bit. Well, guess what? You can have that life now. Jesus, in the prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What? Your will be done where? Here. On earth. Amen. Like it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Do you want some heaven on earth? Mm-hmm. If you want some heaven on earth, follow Jesus. He'll give you some. How does he do that? I can't just be transported to heaven. One day I will be, but if you get a little bit of heaven in you right now, what happens? Well, what kind of place do you think heaven is? Well, they're not crying all the time, and they're not sick, and they're not mad, and they're not depressed. And they have blessing after blessing after blessing, and there's no evil where they are. So when you have some of that heavenly life in you now, what happens? You get a little burst. You get a little burst of energy. You get a little burst of joy. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. You get a little burst of love, joy, peace, patience, or endurance. And it goes down through the list, saying that if you get God's Spirit from heaven into earth, heaven to earth comes in us. Oh, don't miss this. You hear a lot of stuff. I know you hear a lot of sermons and a lot of classes, but you got to tune it in. You know, have you ever had a radio? I know some of y'all had those radios in your car and the music and, you know, all in old school radio, and you had to tune it a little bit. And what happened if it got off channel a little bit? It got all staticky, didn't it? You had to wait a minute. I got to find that. That's my favorite song. I got to find that channel, you know. Tune in. God's got something for you today to listen to, and he wants to help you. What does Jesus want for us? Life. He said, I came to give you that. Abundant life. Life like they have in heaven, you know. Would you like some of that? Yeah. Oh, you can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it in drugs or alcohol. You can't find it in sexuality. You can't find it. There's no way to find it because all of that's flesh stuff and flesh passes away. And that's one thing we need to talk about today. The thief comes, but I have come they might have a life and have it abundantly. The next slide, I put this. The key to living this abundant life, what is it? Well, there are a lot of basic keys, but here's another one. The key to living this abundant life, flesh versus spirit. Flesh versus spirit. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit. Flesh versus spirit living. You live that way. So the next slide is going to give you some help on that. John 4:24. God, we just talked about it at communion, didn't we? God is what? Spirit. The Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians that there's all kinds of flesh. There's all kinds of bodies in the world. There's bodies of animals, bodies of birds, bodies of people. Flesh. All kinds of flesh. the whole world operates on flesh. Flesh bodies, in other words. The word flesh just means this body. And so flesh, he says here that God is spirit. He's not flesh, is he? Jesus was flesh. God became flesh. But now that Jesus has ascended back to the Father and been raised from the dead, he's there in a body that is regenerated and reconfigured. It was a flesh body and now is reconfigured to be a heavenly body. It's the same body. It's the same body, but it's different. How is it different? How is it different? Well, it comes back to the earth scene and walks through walls. But he's still got scars. Now you say, that's confusing. Well, it is in some ways because we don't know how to think that way. If you get immersed, you need to baptize yourself in the Bible. You get immersed in the Bible, you're going to start understanding things, spiritual things. Because the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, the Bible says. And it separates between thoughts and intents of the heart. It separates between flesh or soul in that passage and spirit. It'll help you. It'll help you what? Magnify the spirit part of you and downplay the flesh part of you, which wants to have its way. One way you know they're in the flesh is you're impatient to have your way. If you're in the flesh, you've never been that way, have you? You're impatient to have your way. And you get irritated if you don't get your way. That's flesh. But the spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, endurance. So flesh and spirit. He said here, God is what? Spirit. He's not flesh. Mm-hmm. The Son of God is flesh, but it got transformed. And guess what? We will be transformed to be like that too. You will be you. You will have your body, but it won't look anything like it does now. It'll be glorified. It'll have the glory of God radiating out of that body you have now. And it won't be old, and it won't be sick, and it won't be broken. It'll be transformed. That's a resurrection that we're waiting for, right? We wait for that. Meantime, a lot of people, we've had it right here not too long ago. We had one transition out of the flesh body on into the spirit world. God is spirit. God is spirit. And anybody worships him, we must worship in spirit and truth. And so I put the next line up there. Okay, God is what? God is what? Spirit. But we're made in what? In his image, back in Genesis. And we've been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit. So God is spirit, and you are too. You're a spirit. You live in a body, but you're a spirit. Now, if you're a spirit, you live in the body, therefore you have flesh. And flesh and spirit just don't get along too well. That's why church to some people is boring. Gospel singing, boring. The Bible, boring. Preaching, boring. Because the flesh says, I got to get out of here. I don't like this. I don't have to listen to this. The flesh and the spirit. We'll talk about a passage in a bit, but Paul said that in Romans 8, didn't he? That the flesh and the spirit are in conflict with each other. So here we are. We're in a flesh world, and our Father's a spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come into us, and so we're spirit, but we live in a flesh world, and we live in a flesh body, and so, therefore, conflict. The Christian life is a battleground. It's not for the faint of heart, because the devil will take you out. He'll kneecap you. He'll stab you in the back. He'll do whatever he has to do, lie about you. He'll do whatever he has to do to kill that spirit life in you and make you live in the flesh. And so when you, in fact, in Galatians, we'll talk about in a minute if we have time, but Galatians talks about flesh and spirit. And one thing of the flesh, he said, you know you're in the flesh, Paul did in Galatians, you know you're in the flesh when you have fits of rage. What's a fit of rage? I'm not being treated right here, and I'm going to do something about it. And flesh. Well, you can't live without your flesh. You have to have your flesh, don't you? You have to motivate and get a job and earn and live and do and try to work and bless other people. A lot of you in here just go out blessing people all the time, impressed. A lot of you out here call people and send cards and go visit people. I've heard churches say, we need to hire a preacher that wants to go out and visit everybody. No, we need a church that goes out and visits everybody. When you get that, about all of us working together, you got something there, haven't you? Flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. We're made in His image, therefore we're what? What are we? Spirits. Wow. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that? Okay. We spend a lot of time in the flesh, don't we? There's a lot to do in the flesh. We had some yesterday with good food, right? That's flesh, but it's good. We enjoyed it. Next slide. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brothers, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly. This is a New American Standard Bible, which is very accurate, by the way. Could not speak to you as what kind? People of the Spirit. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. Why? Because they were so in the flesh. He said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. If you're a fleshly believer, some Christians have been in the kingdom 30, 40 years, and they still throw tantrums, and they want their way, and they can't get along with anybody, and they can't stop the eating, and they can't stop the spending, overspending money, and they just flesh, flesh, flesh. And Paul said, I had to change my teaching for you because you don't get it yet. You can't process what I'm trying to tell you. Can an infant process pot roast? Baked potatoes? No. Can an infant Christian process love your neighbor? Can an infant Christian process when the Lord said somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek? I can't do that. They'll make a doormat out of me. You got to stand up for yourself. That's the flesh, isn't it? Give somebody a bloody nose. Flesh and spirit. It comes down to that. It comes down to that in this sense, that if you want the superabundant life, you got to be one of those people that can take in, start learning it now if you haven't already, take in spirit words. Spirit words, not just flesh. When you go somewhere and you go to these big motivational rallies, they have them all the time for people in business, and you go and you get motivated. I've been to a couple myself and read their books and all, you know, and they get motivated and motivated, and they're going to go out and conquer the world, and they're going to sell more this year than you sold last year, and they get you riled up and fired up, don't they? They get you all fired up. Flesh. It's all about the flesh. Doesn't mean they don't have some good things in there, but it's just all about the flesh. Paul said, something's got to change, church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I cannot address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. That's verse 2. I think verse 1 is the only one on the screen. We're not going to put the others up, but I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. Well, how do you know they're worldly? How do you know? Worldly is another word for flesh. How do you know they're in the flesh? Jealousy. Quarreling. They fuss and fight. Since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, church, are you not worldly? Are you not like mere mortals? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, no, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? After all, what's Apollos? What's Paul? Only servants. In other words, we're not the Lord. We just give you the message. That's my job. I just give you the message, right? You do with it whatever you want to do with it. So, spiritual and fleshly. And he's contrasting those two. If you go back to chapter 2, not sure that's on there. Is it on there? Not yet. No, I don't think I put chapter 2 on there. Just back up if you got your Bible handy. You do like the Bible, don't you? You like it okay? Okay. Back up to chapter 2. And I'll make it short, but you get back to chapter 2, verse 12. Okay, I got to read verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit? You can't tell what I'm really thinking. because you're not in my body. You can't tell what I'm really saying or really thinking. Now, who knows the thoughts of a man except this man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God. No one, do you want to know the thoughts of God? No one knows the thoughts of God except who? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He knows God's mind. He knows what God the Father's thinking. He knows. Verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, spirit of the flesh, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. If you can't understand spiritual things, it's because you're keeping the Holy Spirit at arm's length. And you won't let Him do anything. And you won't let Him, well, He's in you. If you're a believer, born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but you keep Him at arm's length. He's telling you some things, and no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. He's leading you in some things. No, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. My friends will think I'm some kind of a nut. My friends will think I'm a Bible thumper, and you know, a nutty Christian. I don't want people to think that. Who are these friends anyway that they don't even like you? They talk about you behind your back, Christian. And you got to impress them? No, just be who you're supposed to be in Christ and let the chips fall, right? If they don't like it, that just separates some people you might need to be separated from. You might need to get away from that bunch. We may understand freely what God has given us. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, here's the key, the man without the Spirit of God, the man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. The man without the Holy Spirit can't accept the things that come from the Holy Spirit, for they're foolishness to him. I'm up here preaching, and some people out in the world hear this CD, some of them are going to think this is foolishness. Why? Because they're in the flesh. They're in the flesh. They can't grasp it. They can't understand it. It's a closed book to the unspiritual person. It's a closed book to the Christian who does not want to know, who's not seeking to know. That's why people say the Bible's boring, and the Bible, I can't understand it. I try to read it, and I can't understand it. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Get your heart right, and God will show you things. Now, if you won't do what He shows you, He's not going to show you anymore. Right? I mean, He doesn't have to show you anything. But if He shows you, leads you, you need to go to that person and ask forgiveness, or you need to forgive that person, or you need to go apologize. No, I'm not going to do that. You just closed the book, didn't you? And you won't get any more. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? There's that thing that God told you to do, but you haven't done it yet. And you're stalled out in your spiritual life. You haven't apologized. You haven't forgiven. You haven't done something else that God told you to do. You know it in your heart. You know it in your conscience. There's some things you ought to do, and you won't do it. I mean, I'm not your judge. I just give you the message, right? That's just my job, to say what the Word says. What does the Word say? The man without, verse 14, the man without the Spirit can't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're, what? Spirit discerned. Spiritually, that's what Paul meant later in that chapter, next chapter, when he said, I couldn't give you solid food. I had to give you milk. Why? You're still in the flesh. You're fleshly, fleshly, fleshly. And it went right over your head, and you didn't understand it. Because you missed it. It's not understood with your brain. You subject it to some kind of logical process, and you put out the fire. You just, this got to be understood in the Spirit, doesn't it? Verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. What in the world does that mean? There's some things that the spiritual person will see that the unspiritual person cannot see. And the unspiritual person will judge the Christian and say, that's foolish. I don't believe in that. And he said, you've seen, basically a born-again Christian has seen both sides, right? You've seen both sides. You've seen the fleshly, worldly stuff you were involved in. You've seen that side. Now you see this side. But they haven't had that experience. They're still stuck on the flesh side, and they can't see your side. It's kind of like a person that's blind they're blind, and you want to take them on vacation, and you take them out to the Grand Canyon, show them the Grand Canyon. What are they going to be able to see? You say, look at the colors. This is so vast, it's so big. What's their reaction going to be? I guess it's big. I guess colors are nice. I've never seen colors. That's what he's talking about here, right? Spirit and flesh. If you're so in the flesh that you can't see spiritual things, it's time to do some homework. Like clean up your life a little bit and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. And you get in the book, right? I know the book. If you've never been in the Bible very much, it'll take you a while. But you will pick up some things right away, and it will encourage you. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What? We have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? We have the Holy Spirit in us, and he knows what Christ wants. And it says the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God, the Father. So getting close to him. Getting close to him. Why are we so afraid? Why are Christians so afraid to just follow God? I don't know. Maybe it's my friends don't like me anymore. Or I don't understand. I got to understand everything before I follow. No, you don't have to understand everything before you follow. In fact, if you're trying to understand everything God's leading you to do, you'll never get there. You just have to say, I believe God wants me to do this. I don't quite understand, but I'm going to do it. Why are we so afraid to follow God? Just pull out the plug and pull out all the stops and say, I'm following God. I don't care what my friends think, my family thinks. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they say on TV, all the talk shows, all the talking heads out there that mock Christianity. I don't care. I don't care. What wisdom do they have? The world's in a mess. And we sometimes think they know more than we know. He said, they don't know anything compared to what you know as a believer. Born again, have the Holy Spirit in you. Don't let them mock you and put you off. And I've had times when people, you know, online and even, I won't go into all that, but we've had stuff sometimes that people obviously were trying to harass me and because I'm a preacher. And I've gotten to where, you know, I'm pretty far along in this thing. I've gotten to where I just kind of laugh at it like, it's like, come on. Grow up a little bit, you know. You grow up a little bit, and what I would say to them, you know. And so, all of this is a flesh and spirit. Difference between the flesh and the spirit. I better get to the next one, or we'll be here. You want to wait for the rain to be over, don't you? Okay. Well, good. It's a good place to wait, right here. If you go out in the rain, your flesh will get wet. And you won't like that. Your hairdo, you know. So that was 1 Corinthians 3. The next one's Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 has a lot in it about flesh and spirit. Chapter 8. Chapter 8's a key chapter in a lot of ways, isn't it? Romans 8. And the one I put up here was, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on what? Things of the flesh. It's so simple. You just make a decision. Say, oh, I'm not going to think about that right now. Was it Scarlett O'Hara said? I'll think about that tomorrow. And just follow through with it. Say, I don't have to think about that. You do not have to think about anything you don't want to think about. Oh, there'll be pressure, but you don't have to think about it. If you have trouble with pornography, what do? Walk away from it. I'm not looking at that anymore. You used to have to buy the magazine, you know, and the brown paper, and now it's all over the internet. It's all over the site. You can get on your smartphone and all that. Just say, nope, not me. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that anymore. Make a decision. That's flesh, isn't it? I'm not going to follow the flesh. Romans 8. I'm going to use the screen because this is English Standard Version, which is a good translation. It's a pretty accurate, fairly new one, but it's pretty accurate. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit, right? If you don't live by the Holy Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It's simple. You say, this is my life. I choose it. I can choose what I want to choose. I choose not to walk by the flesh. We have to live in the flesh. We have to operate in the flesh, don't we? To some degree. But he's talking about flesh in the sense of, it's like when John wrote, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. And he talks about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of that. 1 John, was it chapter 2, I think it is. And people say, wait a minute, God so loved the world. That's a different way of translating the word world. What world are we not supposed to love? The whole world is under the control of the evil one, 1 John 5:19, but that doesn't mean we're under his control. We're in the kingdom of God. He doesn't control the kingdom of God. What does he control? All the unbelief out there, the unbelievers. Satan runs that show out there, so don't ever fall in love with that. Don't ever fall in love with that stuff that he's operating. We have a different kingdom. We love the Lord and we follow him, right? So in this idea here, you set your mind on, the Bible says, set your mind on things above, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. You set yourself in a different direction. Thereby you begin to learn spiritual things. It's a choice every day. God will not make you walk by the Spirit. He'll sure encourage you to do it, won't he? He won't stop you from walking by the flesh, but he'll try to influence you not to walk by the flesh. So do you see the simplicity of the choice? It's just a choice. It's just, but I have trouble with that. I can't make that happen. I fall off the wagon. I say I'm not going to do this and I do it. Or say I'm going to do the right thing and I don't always do it. And Paul talked about that. Romans, read Romans chapter 7. He had the same problem. But he got to chapter 8 and he said, toward the end of chapter 7, he said, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's talking about the flesh, isn't he? This flesh is killing me because I can't make it do what I want it to do. Comes to chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And he talks about, all of chapter 8 talks about having the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you. Does God want you to do well? Does God want you to have heaven? Does God want you to live the Spirit-led life? Of course he does. He's not going to push you away. He's not going to trip you up. The devil's the one that tries to get in your head and tell you it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You don't need this. Look at your friends. Look how good they do. They got a lot more money than you have. They got a nicer house than you have. You think you're going to get somewhere with all this. He's going to lie to you. He is the original liar, isn't he? Ask Adam and Eve when you get to heaven. You see original liar. So that's Romans 8. Have we got another one? I think we have another one here. Romans chapter 8 has a lot about, I hope you read it, has a lot about flesh and spirit. Romans 8, 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. This is Romans 8, verse 6. Again, in the English Standard. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life like they have in heaven. Peace like they have in heaven. You set your mind on what the Spirit of God wants, and it just opens up to you. It's just amazing. Try it sometime. And you'll say, whoa, this really does matter. It really does matter where I put my mind. The next slide is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44. 1 Corinthians 15, some of you in Wednesday night class know we studied a lot on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. But verse 44 says, talking about your body, this body, your body you have right now, people were asking Paul, he talked about the resurrection, and they said, well, what's that mean? And they said, well, what kind of body will we have? What body will we have? And he's explaining that. So he said in verse 44, your body is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. What does sown mean? It doesn't mean sew together clothes. It means planted. Planted. Your body get planted one day. unless the Lord comes back first. What kind of body do you have right now? Spirit body or flesh body? Got a flesh body. Well, there's the hang up, isn't it? We have to deal with this body. After the resurrection, what kind of body will you have? Spirit body. Oh, it'll be a body. More glorious body than you have now. It'll be a body just like Christ now has. At the right hand. And the Bible says in Colossians or Ephesians, we've been raised to sit with him in heavenly places. It doesn't say you will be. You already have it. It's your right. It's your birthright. It's your birthright to walk into the throne room of your Father and talk to him. If you don't believe that, read Hebrews sometime. He keeps talking about come to the throne of God with boldness. Just come in. You belong to him. Come in. You know, kids are pretty bold about what they want, aren't they? I remember family we had here, and the daddy was retired. Grandpa was a retired preacher, and he had the little grandkids running around. And the little boy, I saw the grandpa give the little boy a quarter. He wanted a quarter. Back then, we had a Coke machine back here, and you could get Cokes for a quarter. So we asked him, and grandpa gave him a quarter. And so then the little sister that was a lot younger came up, and what's the boy's name?
Grant.
Yeah, I think it was Grant. And said, but the little girl walked up to her grandpa. Did you give Grant a quarter? Grandpa said, uh-huh. She went, all she did was stuck her hand out like that. Like she just expected it, right? Is that how you go to the throne room with boldness? God's not going to slap you down if you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's part of him. You're part of him. Guess what Grandpa did? Gave her a quarter. Because, see, that's his granddaughter, right? He didn't want to disappoint her. First Corinthians 15:44, right? That's where we were. Yep. It is sown a natural body, like you have now. This one now gets sown, right? How does it get raised? Spiritual just means of the Spirit. So you'll be in the spirit realm, and this body will be transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's the same genetic stuff, but it gets transformed. Boy, isn't that amazing? A little worm becomes this beautiful monarch butterfly. Well, you become like that. You become like Christ after the resurrection. So don't give up what you have. Keep going. Don't back off. Don't quit. Don't back away. Keep doing what God wants you to do. You're growing. You're growing. And he says it'll be sown spirit by natural body. Is the same way of saying, another way of saying spiritual. Raise a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. If you got a natural body, Do you also have a spiritual body in prospect? Yeah, you already got it in you. The Holy Spirit's already in you, so you got it. Where's that joy, peace, patience, love? Well, if you focus on the Spirit-led life, the abundant life of the Holy Spirit, you focus on that. And you say, my flesh, I need to take care of my flesh. You know, I have to go to the doctor. I have to eat. I have to go get sleep and all of that. But I'm not going to let that be my main thing in life. I've known people over the years, believers over the years, that they did a good job of taking care of the flesh. I mean, they had a good job, made money, bought a house, all of that. But boy, they got home from work. They opened that Bible up and they turned the TV off and they spent some time in that Word. And they grew and they grew. It's not magic. I mean, magic in the sense of it just happens to some people and doesn't happen to others. No, it happens. Growth and spiritual life happen to the people that want it. You desire it. You say, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to set my mind on what God wants. Moving along, what's the next one here? Got another slide here that Galatians 5:16. But I say, this is the section that has in it, you remember the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh? Read that sometime. Galatians chapter 5, he'll give you a list of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and you can evaluate. You can say, well, I see that in my life, but I don't see this in my life. It's an evaluation. But in that section, he says this, But I say, Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. What does walk mean? Live your life that way, right? You're living your life that way. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What's the secret to getting away from all kind of addictions and pornography, drugs, alcohol, shopping addiction, whatever it is? What's the secret to that? He says here, if the Word says this, Galatians 5:16, Paul said, the Holy Spirit says, walk by the Spirit. In other words, focus some of your life on the following God, the Spirit, getting in the Word. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It won't happen. You will. I've experienced that. You come away from those desires. You don't have those desires anymore. They just disappear. One of the men I knew that was the Mexican Mafia. I've told you about his story several times. He told me one time when he got saved, got born again, he said, I had no more desire for cocaine. Now, anybody, any expert will tell you cocaine's real hard to get off of. Not for him. What happened? He started walking by the Spirit. He fell in love with God. His life had been so messed up as being in the Mafia and selling drugs, but he saw his hope. He saw the light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I want. I want God. I want the Spirit of God. And he's still at it. He's still preaching the Word, going down to Mexico, starting churches. He's been at this for probably 25 or 30 years. Never looked back. He told me one time, I was taking him around to speak at some elementary schools, tell his story. And he said, now if I stumble or I pass out, it'll be all right, I'll get up in a minute. He said, that's the after effects of all that cocaine I did. Now, he did that much of it and got free of it almost immediately. You think that verse is true? If you walk by the Spirit, what will happen? Those desires of the flesh will start fading. Might not happen overnight. Did for him. Start fading. Living the Spirit life, not the flesh life. Do you have flesh? Does it have to be tended to? Yeah, it does. Does it have to dominate? Mm-mm. It doesn't have. People let the flesh dominate thinking they will be happy. And at the end of it, they're not happy. They're suicidal. Read Solomon's. Solomon, if you read Ecclesiastes, didn't he basically say that? I tried everything. Starts off Ecclesiastes saying, meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. Why? He lived by the flesh again and again and again till it ruined him. And he said, now I see the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Put your life back on this God's side of things. He said, that's what I found out. Solomon, was he pretty smart? Pretty wise, wasn't he? That's what he found out. He found it out the hard way, though. That was Galatians 5:16. The next one is Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Galatians 5, verse 25, 26. So if we live by the Spirit, what are we supposed to do? Keep in step with the Spirit. If you've ever been in the military, you know they can make you keep in step, don't they? You got to start with the left foot. I remember there, one guy couldn't remember the left from the right. Forward march. He'd always start off on the right foot. A drill sergeant would scream till the veins popped out in his neck. Not the right foot. You step off on the left foot. So here, carry this brick in your right hand. It's not the brick foot, it's the other foot. I think sometimes the Spirit of God must think we're that dumb. It's like, come on, I'm trying to help you here. You keep forgetting and you keep not remembering what I told you. Are we supposed to keep in step with the Spirit? Okay, you can't do that unless you're focused on the Spirit. How do you focus on the Spirit? Well, you get one of these Bibles and you try to wear it out. You just try to wear it out. Somebody said, a Bible is falling apart. You see an old Bible falling apart. He said it belongs to somebody who isn't falling apart. Try to wear it out. They make them every day, right? You can get another one if you wear it out. You can write in it. You know, you can write in your Bible. Write yourself little notes, and God won't zap you for writing in the Bible. If you want one that's not written in, just get a new one and put it in a case somewhere and don't touch it, and it'll be okay. But get you one you can write in, and it'll help you. I think it will. Last slide. I thought they'd get an amen, maybe, but you know. Last slide. What does last slide say? For God so loved the world. Oh, that He gave His Son for all these people out here that don't know, they don't know what's going on. They don't know spiritual. Don't know anything spiritually. They're novices. They struggle. They're kicked around by life. Don't know what's wrong. Some tried Christianity and fell away for some reason. We're praying for these people, aren't we? There's a notebook up here. In fact, I added names to it recently. I think it was last week. We added more names. We're praying for them. Now, I know you're supposed to go out and talk to people too. But when we're praying for people, we're praying for somebody. There are people all scattered all in this booklet, scattered all over the country. And so unless we get a plane and start flying everywhere, somebody in their area is going to have to talk to them. So part of that is Jesus said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to what? Send out workers. So we're praying for that too. So as we pray over this, you be praying, not just in general, but think of somebody that you know that's not a Christian, or somebody you put in this book, and begin praying for them right now. Father, we do ask You, by the power of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit, that You touch these lives in wonderful, powerful ways. Bring workers across their path. Send us wherever we need to go. And we will do it. We will help. However it needs to be done, Father, we just want to see it done. We want to see Your life come to these individuals and help them. We ask You, Father, to do that because we believe You hear us, and we believe You will, and believe by the blood of Christ, You will do that. You will heal, and You will send, and You will open hearts in Christ's name. Amen.